Thank you, Bill.
Good morning.
Good to see each one of you here today. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 139, and as you turn, I will again wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. So glad that you're able to be with us and to celebrate this special day, and wherever your children are or aren't, I trust that they have been able to or will express their gratitude to you. If they don't, I trust that even our time this morning will be an encouragement to you and will. If they do tell you that they appreciate what you've done, if your children are young, they're probably not going to tell you that today unless Dad tells them to, and then they might not mean it. But one day, they'll appreciate you, Mom. Hang in there. They will appreciate you one day. Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm, as all of them are. David is the human author of this scripture, this Hebrew song. We don't know. It might have been put to music at one time. We definitely don't know the music now. And if we did, I wouldn't try to sing it for you by any stretch of the imagination. But there's a lot in this psalm, and many of you are familiar with it. And we're going to read a portion of it. We're just going to be looking this morning particularly at verses 13 to 16, but we're going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 16 together. Psalm 139, and we trust that the Spirit of God who led David to write this, directed him in what he wrote, will take hold of this scripture this morning, and just from the reading of the Word of God will pierce your heart. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, if you hear what God says through His Word, I will rejoice in that if you will listen. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And let's go ahead and read verse 17. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 13 to 16. And they describe a place, a physical location. Not necessarily a particular place on the map, but many places on the map. He's describing being in his mother's womb. You see that at the end of verse 13. In my mother's womb. This morning we want to look. We've got a few pictures. We don't have a signal, but we have some pictures. So we'll see what happens here. Maybe it'll come up in a minute. Do I need to do something? Nope, here it comes. Okay, there it is. Well, it's not much of a picture, is it? You can't see it too well, but that's because this is a picture taken inside the womb. Now, some of you have gone and when you were pregnant or your wife was pregnant or your daughter or mother, maybe you went in and saw the sonogram and or the ultrasound, and you saw that little baby, and like most of us, you probably said, "Which one's the baby? What? I can't tell what's the baby in there. I can't tell." But the pictures I'm going to show you some this morning, and again, they're not real clear. They've been downloaded off the computer and now blown up big enough for you to see them. But you can see the baby here. Let's see. Here's my mouse. I can show you. You see the baby's head. You probably can make that out pretty well. There's his arms, his legs, or her. I'm not sure if it's a boy or girl. Maybe the umbilical cord there. I'm not sure. But this was taken actually inside the womb, an ultrasound or a sonogram, but it's what they call a 4D. And this was actually part of a video that you can see on the internet, a short video made, interestingly enough, by National Geographic, not a Christian organization, not a Bible-teaching organization. But when you watch this little short video, and I'm going to show you some pictures, some clips off of it, the video is not downloadable. But this is taken inside a mother's womb. And you know, every one of us in this room, at one time, for a period of somewhere, for most of us, I would say between 6 and 9.5 months, we were in our mother's womb, and that was our place of beginning. We read in Psalm 110 about the womb of the morning. And there God leads the psalmist to write of a new day beginning in the womb. As the morning got ready to start, to come out of the womb, as it were, figuratively speaking, to begin a new day. And the womb is the beginning place for all of us. And David said, "I was in my mother's womb." And each one of us could say that today. Here's another picture in the womb. That first picture, let me go back to it real quickly. This first picture is actually at 8 weeks. And at 8 weeks after conception, that the little baby in his or her mother's womb is able to kick and straighten his or her little legs, very, very small. Move arms up and down. And then this second picture brings us to 10 weeks. And at 10 weeks, this little baby inside his or her mother's womb, able to move the arms and legs now, but now with a greater range of fluid motion inside the mother's womb. What is happening in there? None of us remember that experience of being in our mother's womb. Our mothers remember it very well. Some of us more active than others, probably. Some of us made our mothers a little more nauseous than others did. Some changed their dietary plans quite a bit. But our mothers remember, but we don't remember that. But there was a lot going on. And you know, a lot of, well, some of what we are today, while we were in the womb, actually came to us from outside of the womb. But you know what? While we were there in the womb, we weren't alone. And we find that from Psalm 139. We find out that God was there. You know, David's point, as we read through the first 12 verses, you might have noticed, or you already know the psalm possibly, and you know that David was talking about God being with him wherever he was. And he said, you know, I've learned, I'm coming to understand better and better that no matter where I go, no matter what I do, God is with me. God is watching me. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel as you think about it now, where you sit today in your life. When you hear those words, God is watching me all the time, God is always with me, I don't know how that makes you feel. For some people, it would strike terror into their hearts to be brought face to face with the reality that God is watching us every moment. And as David said, it doesn't matter how far I run, it doesn't matter how deep I go, it doesn't matter how high I ascend, God is there and God is watching. As we think about our lives and realizing that no matter if we're in the darkness, we read here in this passage in verse 12 that the darkness is light to God. He sees what goes on. He knows. Or maybe when you heard that God is watching you and God is with you wherever you are, maybe that brought a sense of comfort and a sense of assurance, knowing that He is there with you. And David, by the Spirit of God, now as he brings this thought to a climax, he goes into the womb. Now, David, compared to what we know scientifically and what we're able to see technologically, he was way behind us in that sense. He didn't know anything about an ultrasound. He didn't know anything about seeing what is happening in the womb, but he understood by the Spirit of God that God is in the womb, and God is watching, and God is seeing, and God is all-knowing. Well, what was God doing? What part was God playing? While I was in my mother's womb, while you were there in your mother's womb, what part was God playing in that? And how did what God was doing then, how did that foreshadow even what God is doing now in your life? We'd like to look at verses 13 to 16 and consider some thoughts this morning. And first of all, in the very beginning of verse 13, we can all say that in my mother's womb, I was possessed by the Lord. Verse 13, the King James says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Now, if you have a more modern translation, very likely that has something about God, for thou hast created or thou hast formed. And that word in the Hebrew, and it's interesting, the words that the Spirit of God led David to use in verses 13 to 16, a lot of these Hebrew words have two meanings, just like a lot of English words. And depending on the way you look at that word in the context, it can be a challenge. But as we take these two thoughts of possessing or acquiring or purchasing, which is the way the word is normally used in the Old Testament and the way that it's translated in the King James, but we also can think about that idea of forming or creating, which in many ways fits the context very well. And again, a proper usage of the Hebrew word. But in my mother's womb, I was possessed, I was acquired or formed. And really the thought here, we could say, is that of being possessed, being owned because of formation. In other words, the Lord is the one who formed you in your mother's womb. Therefore, He possesses you. Therefore, you are His. Now, the word reins, which we have in the King James, again, in other translations, may be rendered my inmost being, my inward parts. Really, literally, the word there for reins in the Hebrew is kidneys. Kidneys. God possessed my kidneys in the womb. But kidneys is used, as we also find other internal organs. In those days, those organs were used to symbolize different aspects of a person's character or a person's being. And here we find the kidneys speaking of the innermost part of the being, almost like the soul, the emotions and the mind and the will. And way back there when you were just a little teeny thing, even at the very moment of conception, the Lord possessed, He created, He formed, He owned your innermost being. Back when you were only a little small cell, in the very beginning of that conception, God had already created within you what you are, a soul, a being. More than just a cell, more than what you would become, flesh and bones and blood, but a being belongs to Him, a soul. You know, you belong to God then. He made you. He created you. He possessed you. And rightfully, you belonged then to the Lord on the basis of His authority as Creator. But what about today? What about today, many years later, from the time when you were small like this? What about now? He still has that right. He still has that authority. And one day, you will bow the knee. All of us will. One day, every knee in this room is going to bow down before the Lord, the Creator, the One who was there with us in our mother's womb, and we're going to acknowledge Him as Lord of all. And our tongues, every tongue in this room, is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But we have the opportunity now, where we sit, where we stand, where we are in our lives, to ask ourselves that question. Am I acknowledging the authority of God over my life? Romans 6 and verse 16 says, "Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." In other words, we have a choice. God has given us that choice. He created us there in our mother's womb and allowed us to grow to the age of understanding where we're able to make that decision. Am I going to say, "I'll not have this man to rule over me"? Or will I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Will I acknowledge Him as the One who died for my sins and rose again? Will I give my life to Him? In my mother's womb, I was possessed by the Lord. But in verse 13, we also can say that in my mother's womb, I was protected by the Lord. Here's another picture. This picture was actually taken at 32 weeks. But as early as 22 weeks in the womb, the baby is capable of fine hand and finger movements. And as early as 22 weeks, a baby in the womb will scratch and rub and pat his cheek, and then do the same with his nose as this little baby was doing in the video. Those little fingers moving. And all of that time when you were in your mother's womb, all of that time that you spent there, you were being protected by the Lord. Notice verse 13, the second part of the verse. Speaking to the Lord, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Again, that verb covered, translated in different ways because it's used in different ways in the Hebrew. Here we have the thought of covering. Literally, the thought is that of an interwoven material. The idea of a mesh. So some translations here speak of being woven together. We'll see that later in the passage. But the idea most often associated with this word is that word of covering, covering over in a protective sense. Screened is a word. Now, when I worked at the hardware store, we sold what's called hardware cloth. Now, if you've never worked at a hardware store, you've never worked with that material, you may be trying to visualize in your mind what hardware cloth is. But it's actually a strong, heavy-duty wire mesh that comes in different dimensions. Some of those squares made out of the mesh are very small. Others are quite large, depending on what you're going to use it for. One thing that we often sold it for would be people taking that and sifting a material. And they wanted certain things not to be able to go through the cloth, through the sieve. And so they would buy the hardware cloth dimension-wise based on what they didn't want to go through, what they were trying to keep out. If they wanted to keep a larger product, maybe like a rock, out, they would get a larger cloth to let more come through at a time, but still keep out what they didn't want to get through the sieve, through the hardware cloth. And I think that's a neat picture of what God was doing, what the Lord was doing while you were in the womb, while you were in there scratching your nose and patting your cheek, The Lord was there protecting you, screening you. And you know, we always chose the right size mesh to only allow to come to you exactly what was according to His will. Now, we know that we live in a world of sin. We live in a world in which people make sinful choices. Sometimes mothers make sinful choices. Sometimes those who are around mothers make sinful choices. And sometimes those sinful choices affect that baby while he or she is still in the womb. Sometimes those choices may not be looked at as sinful, but maybe they're unwise. Maybe the mother makes a decision unknowingly that affects that child. But you know what? The whole time, the Lord, as it were, has a screen. And He's allowing certain things to touch that little baby in the womb. Some of those things we would say, Lord, why did You allow that? Why did You let that happen to that little baby, to my little baby? But you know, the Lord knows. And He has purposes, and He has reasons. And in His perfect wisdom, He allowed that the cloth, that hardware cloth, the size of that screen, He allowed it to be bigger and allowed that to come in to that little baby's being. And He did that willingly. And He had a good purpose in that. You know, as you sit here today, again, many years later, far removed from your mother's womb, the Lord has still got a screen over you. The Lord is still allowing certain things into your life. Certain things can't get through. Certain things, the mesh is holding back. And if God let everything come to us that Satan would like to come to us, that this world would like to come to us, that our own flesh would even like to come to us, probably none of us would even be here. But God, in His grace and His mercy and in His wisdom and in His love, has allowed only certain things to come through. And sometimes we say, Lord, why did You let that through? Lord, why did You allow that to come through the sieve of Your love and wisdom and grace? Why did You allow this to come into my life and affect me? But God is doing it purposefully. Again, it may be a choice that you have made. It may be a choice that someone else has made. But whatever the source, God is allowing it. Maybe He's allowing it to get your attention. Maybe He's allowing it to touch my life so that I will listen to what He's been trying to say, but my head is too hard and my skin is too thick and I'm going my own way and I don't want to listen, and God allows something to touch my life, to get my attention. He may be doing that this morning. You may be sitting here thinking, I know exactly what came through the screen and I'm angry about it. But you know, maybe God has allowed that for a purpose. I'm sure He has. Maybe it's to get your attention. Maybe it's to speak to someone else. Maybe it's to teach you a lesson or someone else to learn something about the character of God. Maybe it's to bring glory to Him in some way that we can't begin to understand. But God is controlling what comes through the hardware cloth, what gets through the sieve, what touches your life, just like He did way back when you were in the womb, in your mother's womb. You can trust Him. He's got a purpose in that. And if you know Him through faith in the Lord Jesus, who shed His blood for you, who gave Himself for you, who suffered unimaginably at the hands of men, but also at the hands of God, who was bringing down His holy wrath on our sin and placing that on the Lord Jesus. He did that willingly. And you talk about the sieve being taken away. Nothing was held back from the Lord Jesus as He hung on that cross. And all the wrath of God came down on the Son of God as He took our place and suffered for us. And you can trust Him. You can count on Him to only do what is best for you. If God would give His own Son and allow him to suffer like that for you. How can we ever doubt that he would do what's best for us? But we've got to receive him as Savior. We've got to have that relationship with him by faith. Verse 14, we find that in our mother's wombs, we were not only possessed by the Lord and protected by the Lord, but we were personalized by the Lord. Here's another picture. This picture shows at 24 weeks how a baby can open and close its eyes, perfecting that blinking reflex that is going to be necessary to protect his or her eyes when he or she is out in this world. Thinking about that, look at verse 14. As David writes all this, he breaks out now and he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." David couldn't look inside the womb. He couldn't see what we have seen today. Even on the antique ultrasounds, just to be able to see that movement in the womb of a baby should amaze us. It should cause us to praise God. Here's another picture. You know, they say that a baby, after birth, it's normally about 4 to 6 weeks before a baby will smile. But you know what? In the womb, the baby smiles. Look at that little smile there. Oh, why wouldn't he or she smile? In that safe place of warmth, is comfortable, is just right. God is possessing that little baby and protecting that little baby. Why wouldn't that little child smile in his mother's womb? And we should smile as we think about God and his marvelous, wonderful, amazing works that David speaks of. And he said, you know, I have no doubt about it. My soul knows that very well. I know that the works of God are amazing. They're beyond my comprehension, as he says earlier in the psalm where we read. It's too high for me. I can't take it all in, but I can sure enjoy it, and I can sure praise God for it, and I can sure tell him how much I appreciate him. And here he speaks of being in his mother's womb, being personalized by the Lord. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Both of those are verbs. They don't come through like that necessarily in our English translation. But I'm fearfully, the thought, I'm fearfully made, and then I'm wonderfully made. The thought of fearful, of course, is that which inspires awe. Amazing for us today to be able to look into what they call actually 4D, because they see it in real time, the baby actually moving there in the womb, clearly being seen and watched. It should inspire awe. And even as I watch this National Geographic video, and I don't think they would have any intention of pointing any glory to God and praising the Lord through that. But I don't know how you could watch that and not be awed at what God has done and what he is doing there with a baby inside the mother's womb. And then that word wonderfully. Wonderfully. It really means distinctly. The thought of distinguishing. Now God, as he creates a baby in the womb of a mother, there's a distinction. First, from all other creations, obviously from inanimate creations, but even from other animal, from animal creations, we have the human being distinguished. But you know, beyond that, we know that there's also a distinction in every baby in every mother's womb. Even when there are twins there or more, they're all different. Different DNA. And the thought there seems to be that every baby in every womb is unique. God has personalized that child. God has personalized that child in one thing, putting his own stamp upon that little baby. but also putting things in that little baby that make him or her different from everybody else. Unique. David said, it's marvelous. It's amazing. It's a work of God, and I know that for sure. And as you sit here this morning, again, many years removed from being in your mother's womb, and yet you can look back and know that in that time, God was making you specifically as you are. You might say, I wish he hadn't have done some of the things he did. That was his purpose. And he's got a reason for that. And you see, you are a unique person, designed for a unique relationship with him. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden in order that he might have a relationship with them, that he might commune with them. And then sin got in the way. And they chose to go their own way. And it separated them from God. And it took the blood of an innocent victim being shed to cover over their sin. And then animal after animal was sacrificed down through the centuries, looking forward to the Lamb of God who would come and shed his blood to take away our sins. And the Lord Jesus, who died for us and rose again, now offers that salvation, that forgiveness, and that relationship with God. God has made you just like you are, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you like you are, but he didn't want to leave you like you are. He wants to change you, to make you into what he desires for you to be, personalized by the Lord. Here's another picture, not real clear, but as young as 11 weeks old, they've seen babies with their thumbs in their mouths. I don't know if any of your babies were thumb suckers. Several of ours loved the pacifier and didn't want to give it up for a while, but but you know, this little baby here, they watched him and he would suck his thumb. But here he's actually sucking on his toes, all right? They're not too hard to get to in the fetal position. Started with some little toes and then sucked on them a while and moved up to a bigger toe. Verse 15 tells us that in our mother's wombs we were also put together by the Lord. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The picture here is of the Lord working in the womb of the mother as a skillful weaver. That thought of being curiously wrought, if you have, a more modern translation, it may say something like skillfully woven or knit together. And that's the picture here of the Lord himself, uniquely for you, knitting all of your parts together. Yes, physically. Yes, all of the blood veins and the vessels and the arteries. Yes, all of the nerves and the way that they run through your body. All of the muscles and the sinews and the tendons. Yes, all the skin stretched over your body. Every bit about you, he's weaving it all together. But beyond that, weaving together your personality, weaving together the color of your eyes, weaving together every little detail about you there in the womb, blending it all together as a beautiful tapestry to him. The substance there speaks primarily of our physical body, of our frame. The book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote in chapter 11, verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It's beyond our understanding to be able to look and to see how God is bringing it all together beautifully, perfectly, according to his plan, according to his purpose, weaving the baby together. All of you woven together in your mother's wombs. And now you're sitting here. And you think back about being in your mother's womb and you're so far removed from that. But you know what? He wove you together then with different abilities and different attributes and for particular purposes. And we can pause and think, as the Lord worked in me many years ago in my mother's womb, Am I fulfilling His purposes for me? When He put this ability in me, when He gave me this attribute, He did so for a purpose. Am I using that? Am I exercising that for His glory? Or am I just using it for myself? Or have I taken it like the servant in one of the parables of the Lord Jesus who was entrusted with some money? Instead of investing it, he took it and dug a hole in the ground and buried it so he wouldn't lose it. You can bury what God did in your mother's womb. He had a purpose in that. And finally, in verse 16, we find that we're also predicted by the Lord. Here's a picture of a 30-week-old baby. But as early as 12 weeks, they begin to have some type of yawning-like motion, possibly in preparation for that first breath. And look at that little fella or little gal there. I'm not sure if it's a boy or a girl. Yawning. The Lord knew that baby was going to yawn right then. In fact, you know, it's interesting. The Lord knows every time that baby is going to yawn throughout his or her whole life. He knows that about you, too. Look at verse 16. We find that in the womb we were also predicted by the Lord. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The Lord was watching. He saw you in the womb before there was any form, when you were just a little cell there in your mother's womb. When you were just attached to that uterine wall, the Lord saw you and He knew everything about you. He knew the color of your eyes. He knew what your hair would be like. He knew about your personality. He knew about your yawns. He knew where you would live. He knew what you would do. He knew who you would marry. He knew the problems you would face. He knew the struggles that would come into your life. He knew the difficulties. He knew the challenges. He knew everything that would come your way. He knew that you would sin. You were a sinner already by nature, there in your mother's womb. As David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. A sinner right there, and the Lord knew all about it. And we see that before we lived one day of our life, the Lord already had it written down in His book. Now, He didn't have it written down as, okay, you're going to do this, and I'm going to make you do that. No. He knows. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knew what you would do. He knew what you would think sitting in this meeting right now. He knew what thought would be in your mind at this precise moment. As you're presented with these thoughts of being in your mother's womb and thinking about the Lord working in that and how He is still working now, He knew exactly how you would respond to that. He knew whether or not at this moment you would be praising Him, whether you would be desiring to live more faithfully to Him, to walk more intimately with Him, or whether your desire at this moment would be just to get out of here and get away from hearing this, that you could get on with your life and not think about your accountability to the one who knit you together there in your mother's womb, who possessed you there, who protected you, who personalized you and put you together and predicted every moment of every day. Already known to Him. And He says, today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Isaiah asked the question, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? One more picture. Some of you have seen this picture. It's clear. And you see there in the doctor's left hand, his finger there, the hand of a little baby. The hand outside of the womb. They did this surgery at 22 weeks on this mother. And they went down into the womb to do this surgery on this little baby to address an issue that he had. And his hand was flopping out and the doctor put his finger there, lifting that little hand back up. You know, the Lord was there. The Lord was there when you were in your mother's womb. The Lord was there watching you, knowing you, The Lord knew about this day. The Lord knows about every day. And the Lord's challenge to us is that we would recognize that His Son came and His Son was in the womb of the Virgin. And His Son was there growing. And His Son was birthed to live a life of perfection as the God-man and to go to the cross of Calvary to die as our substitute for our sins and to shed His blood and to take our punishment and to be placed in that grave and then to be raised from the dead the third day just as He had said He would be. And now to offer salvation to every one of us. If you know the Lord as your Savior, another opportunity to reflect on the goodness of God to you, the amazing work of God in your life. No matter what difficulties you're facing now, God's got a purpose in all of it, and you can trust Him. If you don't know Him as Savior, first you've got to trust Him to save you from your sins, to forgive you of your guilt. We're all sinners. The Bible clearly teaches that. Conceived in iniquity, we come out and we begin to sin as soon as we get the opportunity. But God is the forgiver of sins. Nicodemus said, how can somebody go back into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus said, you don't understand, Nicodemus. I'm not talking about another physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. We've got to be born again. We've got to be born from above. That which of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. The Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for these pictures this morning. But Father, we thank You more so for the word pictures from the Scripture. Your word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, take Your word this morning as we have reflected on You being there with us, You watching, You working, You creating us in our mother's wombs. Father, we thank You for our mothers. We thank You for them carrying us in their wombs. Father, we thank You for choosing to allow us to be born and to give us the opportunity to hear the gospel of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank You for the privilege to respond in faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. Father, I thank You for giving each one of us in this room the privilege of choosing to, by grace, through faith, to be saved. And I pray for any here this morning that have never received the Lord Jesus. They're still in their sins. They're still under Your wrath. They're on their way to a lost eternity in hell. I pray that You would convict them today. And Father, those of us who know You, Father, may our hearts well up in praise as we think about Your goodness, Your amazing work in our lives. May we not take for granted anything. And Father, may we give ourselves afresh to You that by Your grace, as we believe You, Father, that we might live a life that honors You. Father, we pray for our nation. Father, we think of how many babies are aborted every year. Father, their lives taken from them. Father, we pray that You would work in the hearts of the people of our nation and of our leaders, that we would recognize the wickedness of this practice and we would turn back to You. Father, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank You in His name. Amen. I'd love to talk with you. I'll be by the front door as you leave. May the Lord bless you.